bragging is so much fun, especially if your audience is receptive and trusting. You tell them how high your score was, or how much your group donated. Sometimes we call those exaggerations fish stories. We get and we hear them from politicians and the media every day. Can you think of some you've heard recently? That's a fish story you've heard. We pastors tell them all the time when we want to impress our colleagues about how wonderful a congregation is. Of course, I never have to tell a fish story or exaggerate about Advent. That's because everything is true. Everything I say about you is true. Well, the Bible has some fish stories too. And the biggest fish story of all is the one about Jonah. He's the guy who, when God called him to preach to the people of Nineveh, to warn them about the trouble that they were in, what's the first thing he did? He jumped on a boat going the other direction. Nineveh, you see, was full of people that Jonah and his friends despised. And as far as Jonah was concerned, if God was going to destroy them, oh, well, good thing. They deserved any bad things they had coming to them, and he wasn't about to reach out and do one single thing to try and lend a helping hand. So God went fishing for Jonah, in a very literal way. Jonah knew perfectly well that his disobedience to what he knew that God wanted from him was the cause of the storm that was threatening the sailors' lives on that ship that he was using to flee. It wasn't that Jonah didn't believe in God, or that Jonah had a mistaken theology in understanding God's character. He knew that God was a God of grace and mercy, and he knew that he didn't want it for those people out in Nineveh. But you know, for the sailors, okay. He was a man of faith, but without faithfulness. So, to save the soldiers, he went overboard. Hey, death was a better outcome than helping those people in Nineveh. Talk about a stubborn guy. But God would not let his Jonah, his fish, off the hook. God sent a fish to fish for Jonah. And after 3 days in this fish, Jonah finally realized that God had him hook, line, and sinker. And so he agreed to go to Nineveh with God's word, God's going to destroy you. God's going to destroy you. God's going to destroy you. Most reluctant, boring preacher in the whole world. And the people and even the animals believed and repented. They responded to his sermon in a way that we pastors can only dream of. And they changed. And scripture tells us that God changed what God thought of these people too, and they were all saved. So, successful preacher, does he rejoice? Absolutely not. Jonah gets mad because he didn't want grace and mercy for those people. And he'd even tried to kill himself to stop it from happening. And now he wants to die in anger because they got it. Well, you know, we can laugh at Jonah. But you know what? We are like him. How often do we speed or break and bend laws that and want grace and mercy for ourselves, but not for all those others that are doing the same thing? God fished for Jonah, would not abandon him to his disobedience and his selfish anger and his tribalism. And God is fishing for you and me, always calling us back from our self-righteous instincts to think the worst of others while letting ourselves off the hook. God sends us to our Ninevehs too, calling calling us to join God in fishing for people. Fishing for people. Maybe that makes you uncomfortable. After all, we talk about phishing scams, people with evil intent to get the naive and unsuspecting to be victims, caught in their nets, hooked by innocent-looking clickbait. Sometimes when we talk in the church about evangelism, people get anxious because they're concerned that the point of inviting people to the church is so that those people will be caught in a net and used to suit the purposes of the institution. So it's no wonder that the fish in the sea of our world are wary of organized religion. No one wants to be prey, and no one wants to be fished and used. And I'm sure that not a one of you here wants to be party to doing that. But if evangelism means wanting for others, all others, no conditions, no questions, the same grace and mercy that God shows you, then you can be a bit like Jonah in his preaching. Remember, he had no expectation of any benefit from sharing that grace and mercy. None. Wasn't going to be about him. Your call is simply to offer grace and mercy to others in your daily interactions with them, treating them with the same grace and mercy that you've been given. Not necessarily in the same words or context that it was spoken to you, but in whatever way the person you're with can receive it. And then just let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Kindness to those whose motives you're suspicious of, who are from other countries or countries that have lawbreakers. That's your Nineveh. And those are the waters you're called to fish. No! Much easier to get on a boat going the other way than to offer people that big fish story of God's not wanting to judge and punish them when they're feeling judged and punished by your tribe. God's call to fish for people is pretty scary. Much easier to stick with what you know. And so that makes me wonder about those fishermen that Jesus called to follow him. Dropped everything and went, did. He's commanding them to make a huge career change and status change. Leave their homes and families and the family business and become itinerant. Okay, got an exercise for you. Close your eyes and imagine yourself in a family that's a nice, stable family. Everybody loves everyone. There's a stable family business that you all own. You have friends and clubs and teams you support. And think of doing this happily day after day. And imagine that you go to sleep with the security that tomorrow will not bring any changes. Okay? Now imagine that the next day you get an incredible new job offer. What would that offer have to be like to make you leave all of that comfort zone and move away to a new career and a new environment? An offer too good to refuse? Your dream location? Fantastic pay? A job that pays you to do what you love doing? That's what grace is. An offer too good to refuse. And that is the offer, you can open your eyes, that's the offer that you took today when you came here this morning. You had a warm home, a comfortable bed, food, phone, stuff that needed doing, and yet God offered you words of grace and mercy, fellowship with Jesus in this place, and you left your home. And you came here to hear these words to become again disciples, listening to the teacher whose words offer to take you into joy. Whether you came this morning from a place of happy or sad, or comfort and pain, God offers you the invitation to leave all those states and come with joy into God's presence. Just joy. Joy to share. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.